Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Are you moving on? Do you have to wait until Monday night to figure that out? Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Fantasy Football Today, recapping Week 14. Adam Azer, Heath Cummings, and Dave Richard. How's Week 14 going for you, Heath?
Really pretty well, I think.
Right.
I think I look like I probably advance in 5 of 6 that I was playing in this week. I made 2 terrible decisions that I just like to take blame for right off the bat. I started Mike Glennon over Andy Dalton in the Scott Fishbowl. And that's probably going to cost me a spot in moving to the next round, which is really disappointing. I think that's the only league I'm going to lose this week. Well, the only league I'm going to lose where it's going to cost me a playoff spot. I also, in a league where the playoffs don't start until next week, I started Deebo Samuel in the flex over Miles Sanders. And that's going to cost me a victory probably this week, but still going to make the playoffs.
Okay. And wait a second. You're talking about our league that we set the lineup that we
yes.
put Deebo. Okay, yes, that did hurt quite a bit. But we are tied basically. We just need Jarvis Landry to outscore Lamar Jackson.
But we don't have to win. We had clinched a playoff spot
think
before
that's
this
true.
Week.
I don't think that's true.
We are 8-5. There's 2 teams behind us at 7-6, and they play each other. And 4 teams.
Oh, they
the
play
playoffs.
Each other. All right.
Yes.
All right. Then we're good. We're good. Dave, how are you? How's Week 14 going?
I've got nail biters galore. I started Geo over Miles Sanders in one league. And if I had started Miles Sanders, it would be all but over. But instead, I have an 8-point lead on a guy that I've beaten for the championship in this specific league twice. He is dying to kick my ass. He's got Nick Chubb left. I've got Mark Andrews left. It is PPR. It is going to be close
nice.
All on right. Monday night. Dynasty League, I have a 2-point lead, a little less than 2 points on Will Brinson. He still has Cole Beasley and Cam Hayward. I've got Kareem Hunt and Minka Fitzpatrick and Mike Hilton. That's a half PPR league. That's a league I'd really love to win. I am going to advance in the Kings Classic. I beat Bob Harris pretty handily. I feel lucky to have done that. And the team that I was previously undefeated lost last week. We were losing all this week. This is the Pros versus Joes league. And we currently are enjoying a 5-point lead with Stephon Diggs left to play versus a team that only has Tyler Bass left to play. So hopefully
right.
Stephon Diggs comes through with a nice game and we can move on to 13-1 and try and win the damn thing. And I have absolutely no idea how I'm doing in Scott Fishbowl.
All right. Well, let's move on to Week 14 recap here. The most pleasant surprise and the biggest disappointment from Week 14. Who wants to go first?
I got it. I'll go first. My most pleasant surprise is Alvin Kamara getting 10 targets. And it's been a while since we've seen him so involved in the passing game. It was nice to see 7 catches for 44 yards. He also had 50 yards and a touchdown. Hopefully this makes people feel okay in case Taysom Hill does have to start another game. But you've been starting Alvin Kamara anyway. Now with Drew Brees expected back soon, hopefully week 15, Alvin Kamara can go back to being a mega stud.
Yeah, and the best part is you stole one of Heath's winners. So that was awesome. And yes, I was... Obviously started Kamara, a little nervous about it because of the lack of catches, but he comes through with a huge game, and we're hoping to get Brees back because next week we got the Saints and the Chiefs. And
it's got to be Brees. They got to have him back for
yeah,
that game.
Yeah, and they are coming off a loss, and they need to win to get that one seed. They're out of the one seed right now because they lose the tiebreaker to the Packers. But that game is the home team watch party presented by Lowe's, so make sure you hang out with us next Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern on twitch.com/FFtoday. More about that next week. Heath, what was your most pleasant surprise?
You know, I really struggle with whether it was T.Y. Hilton or Lynn Bowden.
I don't mind if those are truly your pleasant surprises.
No, no. My most pleasant surprise was Jonathan Taylor. Just absolutely. And this was kind of a tough one. because I wasn't in on him very much at his draft cost at the beginning of the year. But for dynasty purposes, I thought he was eventually going to turn into that stud running back. In the first 10 weeks, he didn't show us hardly anything that looked like he was that. And it started to come together. And part of it's the matchups. Like, I don't think he's necessarily just morphed into a top five running back already. But you can see the confidence growing and the Colts using him more extensively. And I have one team that's remaining with Jonathan Taylor, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, it's the vision has gotten better. I think the confidence has gotten better. He's got a shot to be a really great running back. It's the thing that people were talking about back in August, but no one wanted to pay. Well, there was somebody in every draft that wanted to pay a third round price tag for him. I wonder how many people did it and stuck with him. I'm sure I'll hear from some of those people on Twitter.
Dropped him. Nobody dropped him.
There were a few people that dropped Jonathan Taylor. In one league that I was in, I traded for him and then I traded him away to build my team up. And I never really got to enjoy. Obviously, I didn't get a chance to enjoy anything like this. This is also the same league where I benched Miles Sanders. So it goes to show you what I know. But the last 3 weeks have been a joy. And there will be discussions within the next 30 days about whether or not he is a top 15 pick in 2021, a top 12 pick in 2021. There's going to be excitement for him for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good. Good finish to this. The rookie running backs were great this week. I mean, Swift scored. Was he great? No, but he scored, so he was okay. Cam Akers, obviously. Jonathan Taylor. Oh, well, James Robinson, the guy who's always great, had a touchdown callback. Of course, always gets a touchdown callback, and he had one of his worst games, unfortunately.
Clyde was pretty good.
Fine.
Clyde was pretty
because
good.
Because of the catches, yeah.
He looked good. That's the good news.
Yes, oh, for sure. In the second half. In the first half, I thought they were kind of going away from him and going to Le'Veon Bell. And it kind of looked like they lit a fire on him, and he was a different back in the second half.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you. Jonathan Taylor gets the Texans next week. That'll be fun.
Oh, that's great. No, I'm going to ask you seriously. I'm not being, you know, I didn't see that many Clyde Edwards-Helaire carries, but he had like, didn't he have like 16 carries for 30 yards or something?
And at one point, he really didn't have that many carries.
16 for 32.
I wonder if it was like 4 or 5 carries at the half, something like that. And then in the second half, they really started to go with him. He had a lot of catches early on.
Looked good. He averaged 2 yards
good on the carries. Okay. I think he looked okay. Yeah, especially on the catches. Working the edges. I thought he looked very good against the Dolphins there.
All right. You know who looked good in that game? It was Tua, man. You got to be pretty
pumped
for a Dolphins fan.
He had a couple of bad throws, but for the most part, the second touchdown to Gesicki was a ballsy throw.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Gesicki kind of bailed him out on it.
I couldn't tell when I was watching that game if he was like really having a good game or if he was really getting lucky. Because he threw up a lot more 50-50 ball. I mean, we haven't seen any of that from him this year. He had a little Fitzmagic in him in this game. And it worked out, but that second Gesicki touchdown was almost in the hands of the defender.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess just encouraging stuff to see him kind of air it out without Parker, without Grant, eventually without Gesicki. Incredible, so depleted, without Miles Gaskin, who was a pass-catching option for him.
I believe their left tackle also got hurt.
And they were playing without their starting guard, Eric Flowers. So the Dolphins are super injured. Bobby McCain got hurt in that game. He came back, but he's one of their defensive backs. And that was a big difference because Tyreek Hill torched his replacement. Anyway, I would say my biggest, most pleasant surprise would be an unpleasant surprise because I sat him was Miles Sanders.
That's what I was going to say.
If you feel bad about, well, you already gave one, Dave.
No, not a disappointment.
Nope.
Disappointment was going to be Miles Sanders. Well, because you sat him. Yeah,
for the exact same reason why you're going to say he was a pleasant surprise, but it's not pleasant if you sat him.
It was really unpleasant.
It was, but you know what?
It cost me in the most important league I'm in.
Look, if it was just one big run plus a 1 yard touchdown run and 4 catches, you know, no big deal. He had an 82 yard touchdown run and he was started in like 50% of the, I'll double check on that. But, yeah, well, we have a believe it or not on Miles Sanders in a bit, so we'll save it for then. He was started in 59% of leagues. Heath, who is your biggest disappointment?
No, this time I'm going to go ahead and steal one of Dave's. I think it was Ezekiel Elliott. If you would have told me that the game script was going to go this way and they were going to run the ball 25 times against the Cincinnati Bengals and be up by 3 scores for as long as they were, or 2 scores, like he splits evenly with Pollard basically in terms of touches for the full game. And I don't know how, like if you survived this, I don't know how you could start him with any confidence the rest of the way.
Yeah, and he had one big run, which kind of saved him a little bit. He ended up with 59 total yards, and next week he gets the 49ers, then the Eagles. Those are two good run defenses. All right, so we will get to the big news here, a lot of it.
So I don't get to give a disappointment.
You just did Miles Sanders.
You said it Miles Sanders.
What do you want?
No, but I don't get another one now because you stole Miles Sanders
Dave,
from me?
You don't. You have another hour to talk. Don't worry. Watch us on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. Silly Dave Richard. Watch him on YouTube, YouTube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. And listen to all of our podcasts. We have so many. CBSSports.com/podcasts. We have a new gambling podcast out. We, of course, have Fantasy Football Today in 5. We've got college football. We've got great college hoops podcast. The best college hoops podcast you can find. We've got, you got us, golf, any sport, we got it. CBSSports.com/podcasts, except the NBA. All right, the biggest news, Devontae Parker, Jakeem Grant, Mike Gesicki, all left with injuries and offensive line injuries. Team was a mess today and they hung tough with the champs, but they get New England next week. Deebo Samuel left on the first play of the game. What a bummer. And they're at Dallas next week and hope he can come back. Alex Smith and Matthew Stafford. By the way, we saw a ton of backup quarterbacks today. Some for injury reasons, some for blowout reasons. Some because they are Jacoby Brissett and they get in the game. But Alex Smith was replaced by Dwayne Haskins. Matthew Stafford played most of the game, and then Chase Daniel replaced him. You want Stafford back because he's at Tennessee next week. Raheem Mostert left, and he returned. There was a lot of that, actually, this week. We'll get to more of that. Three Philadelphia defensive backs left with injuries, including Darius Slay. They're at Arizona next week. Mike Williams left with a back injury at the Raiders next week. And Tyreek Hill kind of held his hamstring late in the game. But I haven't seen anything on that. I'm assuming he's fine. But he has now scored. Tyreek Hill has scored 11 touchdowns in his last 7 games. Wow. Whew. Okay, believe it or not, guys. Let's do some believe it or not. Mitchell Trubisky. These are courtesy of Heath Cummings. Mitchell Trubisky is better than Deshaun Watson rest of season. For those of you playing along at home, here are the schedules. Trubisky has, we'll just do weeks 15 and 16, at Minnesota, at Jacksonville. Watson is at Indianapolis and home against Cincinnati. Trubisky is better than Watson rest of season, believe it or not, Heath.
I'm giving the peek behind the curtain here because I don't want to be accused of being the person that said Mitchell Trubisky is better than Deshaun Watson in any sort of frame at all. I presented this as Mitchell Trubisky is a top 10 fantasy quarterback rest of season, and I believe that. If you're asking me, am I starting Mitchell Trubisky in week 15 playing against the Minnesota Vikings when Deshaun Watson faces the Colts? Definitely if there's no Brandon Cooks. And probably if there is a Brandon Cooks. Okay. I just think, like, and I know Trubisky could fall flat on his face. He could be just absolutely awful. But we've seen that from a lot of good quarterbacks this week, I think. It's possible. But Trubisky has 3 games with just monster fantasy performance out of 5 this season. The Vikings, I don't believe, are a good defense.
All right.
I'll be starting Trubisky.
Dave, believe it or not, Trubisky's better than Watson. I'll simplify it next week.
I could see it being the case. I don't know if I can trust it, though, because of, and Heath said it, Trubisky definitely has a chance, no matter who he plays, every week of falling on his face. And he will have great games like this that make you believe that, oh, yeah, he could be a franchise quarterback. And then he gets into a divisional matchup like the one he'll have against Minnesota, and he'll have a bunch of turnovers, and he'll be a mess. But you got to buy into how he's playing. It's good to see, even if it is against Houston and a team that won't pressure him very much. Minnesota is going to be kind of the same thing. I think the offensive line for
Chicago is playing believe
better.
It or not. Believe it or not.
I said I don't believe it.
You don't believe it? Did you say that?
No, I'm still going to start Watson.
Okay.
Watson had a touchdown overturned, a second touchdown overturned. Even if there's no Cooks.
Okay.
I'm going to have trust issues with Mitchell Trubisky. It's easier for me to say that he could be a top 10 quarterback than better than Deshaun Watson in week 15.
Okay. Believe it or not, T.Y. Hilton is a must-start wide receiver in Week 15. That would be against Houston, who he just torched 2 weeks ago. T.Y. Hilton, must-start wide receiver. Dave, believe it or not.
not only do I believe it, I think there's a case to be made that he's a top 12 receiver next week, because that Houston defense is so bad. And the chemistry that Hilton has with Phillip Rivers, it took a long time for it to happen. But it's 3 weeks straight now where they just look like butter, and it's fantastic.
And like, this is one of those things, I scoff at the player versus team thing a lot of the time, but Hilton has actually referenced like his performance against Hilton and how he always destroys them and how he's going to destroy them again in the future. And I just totally believe him. And I agree with Dave. Like, that was the point of clarification I want to make. I think it sounds kind of dumb, as good as he's been, to say, is he must start? Well, of course you're starting him. I think to be must start, you've got to be top 15. And I think he's a top 15 wide receiver this week against the Texans.
Okay. Believe it or not, Jalen Hurts has saved Miles Sanders and the Eagles offense.
All right, stole a little bit of my thunder on this one, but no, I don't yet believe it. Okay. When I say saved, it's like Miles Sanders is back being the guy we drafted him to be. And he was in this game, but I don't think he's a top 12 running back automatically. Again, this was a lot of what we've seen from Miles Sanders all season long. It was 13 carries for 33 yards and one good run.
Yeah.
And four catches.
Four catches was huge.
For 15 yards.
21 yards I have.
Was it 21? Okay.
Did I write it down?
He came into this to the week averaging 3.5 yards per target, which is miserably bad, and averaged 4.1 yards per target in this game.
Yeah. How many? But he caught 80%, and he came into the game catching only 50%. So that was wonderful.
But the catches were good.
Take those and points. You know?
I'm not saying I'm going to tell people to bench Miles Sanders again next week. I'm probably not. I think he'll be a number two running back, but I don't think he's just necessarily saved him back to what he was. And I don't really, there wasn't much encouraging for anybody else in this offense out of this performance.
But you can actually start to see that maybe Jalen Reagor could be that guy for Jalen Hurts. Like there were some close connections between those two. And in time, if Hurts keeps the job going into 2021, Reagor could be his number one guy.
I think that
Hurts has been fantastic for Miles Sanders. It changes the way the defense plays against Philadelphia. It takes a little bit of a load off of the offensive line as well. But I'm not going to put him in as a top 12 running back against Arizona. If he has a decent game against Arizona, though, week 16, he's got Dallas.
Yeah.
And he could be back as a top 12 running back by then.
Well, to me, the most encouraging thing was Jordan Howard didn't play. And Miles Sanders got 14 carries and Boston Scott only got three. And they really gave him a lot of playing time. 18 touches is great. If you can get that, if he gets 18 touches next week against Arizona, it's going to be terrific.
The thing that's going to be difficult for the pass catchers, I think, is the same thing that's making the Eagles offense not suck so bad. That the pass protection is still breaking down regularly. It's just Jalen Hurts gets away now.
Yeah.
But those pass plays turn into run plays, because Jalen Hurts is taking off. So we saw 30 pass attempts. I don't know how many times this season Carson Wentz had 30 or fewer pass attempts.
Good point. And Hurts had 18 carries for 106 rushing yards. He ended up with 20 fantasy points. And by the way, he's only rostered in 24% of leagues. And by the way, Doug Peterson did not commit to him. But by the way, we're committing to him. He's going to be the starter next week. I mean, we don't know that, but there was a report before the game that was probably going to be the case. All right. Drew Lock. Let's do this last one. Believe it or not, Drew Lock is a solid week 15 streamer against the Buffalo Bills. Lock with, what do you have? 30 points? No, more than that. Sorry. I did not.
280 and four, right?
Yeah. He had 33 fantasy points after three straight games with like 8-14. Yeah. 8-14 fantasy points. Drew Lock, solid streamer next week against the Bills. I'll go to Dave first, believe it or not.
If you're playing with fire with Mitchell Trubisky, you're sticking your head in the grill with Drew Lock against the Bills. I would be even more nervous to go with Lock against Buffalo next week.
Yeah, no Hopefully. Chance. Don't like maybe this one was too obvious, but I agree entirely with Dave. He has had some monster games this season. I do think the Bills present a decent opportunity for quarterbacks because their defense is just average and they score a bunch of points. But Drew Lock had 3 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in his 3 games before this one. I do not want to start him. I don't really want to start him in a 2 quarterback league. I'd rather start Trubisky. I'd rather start Jalen Hurts and lots of other people.
Yeah, it is interesting, though. Locke has thrown for 248 yards or more in six of his last seven games now. He just, sometimes he throws touchdowns. He always throws interceptions, but he is throwing for a lot of yards, which maybe gives you a little more faith in Tim Patrick or something like that. News and notes. Patrick Mahomes took a 30-yard sack. That was fun. The game was really fun.
He also threw for over 300 yards for the sixth straight game.
Three interceptions.
And threw for more interceptions in this game than he had the whole season before this game.
Yeah.
It was one of the weirdest games I've ever watched.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was a good week to have faced Patrick Mahomes, I would say. Miles Sanders, all those accolades we didn't even mention, he became the first 100-yard rusher against the Saints in 56 games. The last one was LaMichael Perine, or which Perine was it? I think it was Samaje Perine. Yeah, Samaje Perine. Kyler Murray got a little banged up. AJ Brown, both came back. Giovanni Bernard fumbled on the opening drive, did not have another touch until the first possession of the second half, and was one of the mega duds today. Deshaun Watson got hit in the... Duke Johnson left with an injury, but he returned. Mike Davis, same thing. Carolina left tackle Russell Okung left with a calf injury. Daniel Jones was not healthy, and he left late in the game. He'll play next week, but he was like a sitting duck. He could not move, really. Let's see. The Colts had an offensive line injury. Jamal Adams set the single-season record for sacks by a defensive back with 8.5. And Hassan Reddick, Cardinals linebacker, had 5 sacks and 3 forced fumbles today. Unreal. San Francisco left tackle Trent Williams left in the first quarter. I'm not sure if he came back. We saw Gardner Minshew come in. Do we know if he's going to start next week?
Just say we saw Gardner Minshew come back?
Sure.
Like, there should be two different sections here. Backup quarterbacks who played and starting quarterbacks who returned.
Gardner Minshew came back. Ryan Finley came in for the Bengals. Geno Smith for the Seahawks because they blew out the Jets. And Colt McCoy on the last like 2 or 3 minutes for the Giants. All right. Some almost touchdowns you need to know about. There are so many that I'm probably going to not read all of them. But the Panthers DST nearly had a touchdown if you started them. James Robinson had one called back. Adam Thielen, Devontae Parker, Sammy Watkins, Christian Kirk, Ronald Jones.
Kirk's was a rushing touchdown, yeah?
Almost rushing touchdown, right. Yeah. Kyler Murray. See, Kyler Murray almost had 2 touchdown passes. This is just like bad luck for him. Max Williams got tackled at the one. Game. Well, it's been an unlucky run because he's not scoring near the end zone anymore. It's always Kenyon Drake.
The thing that I think has been consistent since he's come into the league, and you've highlighted it with rookie quarterbacks before, their touchdown rate's often bad. His hasn't improved as much as we expected it to in terms of passing. So when he was running inside the 5-yard line, he was still getting enough touchdowns. But he's not ever produced enough passing touchdowns on a consistent basis.
Right. I think it's 2 weeks in a row, I think, where he's had a guy get like tackled at the one and then Kenyon Drake comes in. I know it happened this week. I think it happened last week, maybe the week before.
I think that happens more when you're throwing short of the end zone and not into the end zone.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I think the point I'm trying to make is that earlier in the season, if that happened, most likely he would have scored the touchdown on the run after. It's always Drake now. Wayne Gallman. Like, you expect if the Giants are going to get near the goal line, they're going to hand it off to Gallman. Well, this time they handed it off to Deion Lewis because they were in hurry up and he scored a touchdown.
Well, Gallman helped them get down there. I wonder if he was just tired.
No, it was a long pass play to Golden Tate down at the 1-yard line.
That set up the play before, but there was a lot of Gallman on the drive, if I remember correctly.
I think there was. I think they were trying to hurry up because they didn't want it to get reviewed, or they were just trying to hurry up or whatever, and Lewis stayed on the field, I believe. Jordan Akins had the worst drop of the year. Wide open in the end zone. Worst drop of the year. What was Johnny Lamb Jones? Is that his name? For the Cowboys?
There were like 17 cornerbacks who made the best interception ever today.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whose was the best?
The Indianapolis one.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Taken away from Waller.
I don't remember
Howard's,
but you know what I'm talking about.
Howard's taking it away from Tyreek Hill was phenomenal as well.
Yeah. Samaje Perine
for the Dolphins.
Samaje Perine had a touchdown call back. Taysom Hill missed Emmanuel Sanders wide open in the end zone. Marvin Jones almost had a long touchdown catch, and Tom Brady missed Chris Godwin for what probably would have been like a 30 or 40 yard catch. All right, enough of that.
Tom Brady missed Chris Godwin a lot today.
Mm-hmm. And he missed Gronk open down the field. He still ended up with a pretty good game, considering the lack of attempts.
Okay. It was okay. Yeah.
They had the ball for 21 minutes.
Well, we talked about it all year, how Minnesota just dominates time of possession.
Are you joking?
Yeah, completely. They've been awful at it.
They were early. Have they gotten better, though?
They've improved. They had no other choice. They were running like 52 plays a game.
All right, winners and losers. T.Y. Hilton is a winner for Dave. We talked about him. Pick him up if he's still available. 78%. Lynn Bowden is your other winner. Dolphins, they got him from the Raiders. He had 7 catches for 82 yards on 9 targets. Last week, he had 4 catches. He'll run a little bit. He had a carry in each game. But all these injuries, Lynn Bowden steps up. They get New England next week. He's a winner, Dave. And is he not a must-add? You tell me. Is he a must-add?
I don't think he's going to be the must-add, but is he this week's version of Kiki QT in that he gets a lot of targets and a lot of catches, and he could be kind of a PPR helper for you down the stretch? If the run game doesn't get better for Miami, and we're not expecting Myles Gaskin to play, and if Parker's hurt and Gesicki's hurt, there's a huge window of opportunity being open for Bowden.
Okay. Heath, would you say that Bowden's well for him?
I wouldn't say that.
Yes, you would. All right, your winners are Alvin Kamara, who we talked about. Kamara had 94 yards and 7 catches, 94 total yards plus a rushing touchdown. So huge game for him. And Nelson Agholor, he's now got 20 targets in his last 2 games. Go ahead.
I am buying in to Nelson Agholor. I'm not going to. I've held out for too long, and it's helped me to avoid some pretty terrible fantasy performances along the way. But this week against the Chargers, when I run my projections, if he's not in my top 30 wide receivers, I will make an adjustment. And Nelson Agholor is a top 30 wide receiver.
Okay. And our final thing there, is it as easy as if you like Derek Carr, you should like Nelson Agholor?
It seems like it is that easy now because he's seeing such a significant, like, it's not just 20 targets, 35 targets over his past 4 games. He's the number 2 option behind Darren Waller in terms of targets, and he's the deep threat, and that's a good combination.
Cool. To the losers, Heath, your losers are Tyler Lockett and Hayden Hurst, and I'm going to throw in another loser after Hayden Hurst, a bonus loser, but let's talk about Tyler Lockett. Started in 97% of leagues. 52 yards. But, just quick thing on him was Wilson didn't, what did he throw for, 200 yards? Like, Metcalf led the team.
He threw 4 touchdowns.
He did do that.
And none of them went to Tyler Lockett.
All right, Heath, the floor is yours. Sorry.
This was very discouraging. Like, you say 97% of leagues. If you had asked me at any point this week about sitting Tyler Lockett, I would have tried to make it seem obvious, I thought you the biggest, dumbest person ever. You should not ever sit Tyler Lockett. But, I mean, geez Louise, Tyler Lockett. Hey, there have been too many games like this.
NSFW.
He's had under 70 yards in 7 straight games. He's had 1 touchdown in his last 7 games.
Now, in his defense, the three of the 4 games before this, he had been like Corey Davis, at least.
Both the targets?
No, well, but he's like 11 PPR points most weeks.
Yeah. He had 9 targets in 3 of his last 4 coming in.
Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is the lack of a touchdown was really bad, but the yards were actually just fine because Wilson only threw for 206. Well, then you did get Geno.
Unfortunately, I don't play in any leagues where my points are based on what percentage of their team's yards did they accumulate.
Metcalf had 61 yards.
Kind of annoying if that's the idea of a fantasy league. what was his yards per catch coming into this year? Anybody know it off the top of their head? It was pretty high, right? He was like a hyper efficient wide receiver.
Yeah, it's gone down. He's short area now. He and Tyreek Hill on a per target basis were the 2 most efficient wide receivers ever coming into this year.
And now it's down to around 11 yards per catch. Mm. Actually, it might even be lower than that.
It was around that
after
today.
The game.
Yeah.
Or right around there.
Well,
it's disappointing. You know what his upside is. I think you take a risk benching him every single week. You've got to like some of your receivers better than Lockett to put Lockett on your bench.
That's the thing. And it's going to be, we're going to have to try to remember this conversation, but when we get to January or February and we're looking at Tyler Lockett's player page, this is going to be the best year of his career.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
He came into this week six catches shy of his career high, 200 yards shy of his career high, and only two touchdowns shy of his career high. And those weren't all in the same season.
Washington next week, and then the Rams after that.
Well, but week 17 stats are going to show up on his stats page.
I know. But the next 2 weeks are not going to be easy for Russell Wilson. So maybe it can be a little bit easier to get away from Lockett if you survived his bad game this week.
Hayden Hurst is Heath's other loser. He had one catch for 7 yards on two targets at the Chargers against the Bucks next week. And this is now three of the last four games been really bad for Hayden Hurst.
I don't get it. And the nice thing is anytime I rail against how bad Hayden Hurst has been recently, he generally comes through with 60 yards and a touchdown. But I'm not going to have any degree of confidence starting him this week.
When in the first game against New Orleans, he hurt his ankle pretty bad and he finished that game, but he wasn't really running around that much and he hasn't really been good since that game. So and this is also the fourth game this year where the Falcons have played without Julio and Hayden Hurst has been 8 PPR points or less every single time. And this one was like a hideous one.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to say goodbye.
Okay. Bonus,
especially against Tampa Bay next week.
Bonus losers, Todd Gurley. I don't know what's going on there, but in a league that I lost
take
this week,
take a wild guess what's going on with Todd Gurley.
Yeah, he's not good, but I did make a very smart move and picked up Ito Smith this morning just to put him on my bench and got my butt kicked by Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers and Derrick Henry and Robert Tonyan, and I just got smashed by George. So I will keep Ito Smith and in the losers bracket. And nobody else gets to have him, but you know, take a look at him because he's 4% rostered and he had 5 more carries.
He's their best running back.
Yeah. All right, Dave, your losers were Zeke, who we already talked about, and Giovanni Bernard. Ew. Three carries, 3 catches, 23 total yards, and a fumble. And this is now 5 straight bad games for Gio. And this was against the Cowboys, no less. And there were 2 other running backs on the team that did a lot better than him. So what do you tell the Gio manager?
That you shouldn't trust him anymore because his coaching staff doesn't trust him. He had an early fumble, and they decide to bench Giovanni Bernard for it and move to Samaje Perine, and then he fumbles. And then it's just – or maybe it was Travion Williams who fumbled, and then they gave it to Perine. I don't know. I don't care. I thought the Cowboys defense was going to come in and be sloppy. They weren't. Gio was the sloppy one. He played a bunch in the second half, but man, do I feel like the biggest heel ever for thinking that Gio would have a good game. And I look forward to dropping him and never picking him up again and then never being part of Team Gio ever again. I am tearing up my card that I got in the mail from the Team Gio fan club. I am no longer in. Mm. I'm throwing it out. Oh. I'm done with Giovanni Bernard. This was terrible. This was extremely frustrating.
Breaking news.
Oh God.
Deontay Johnson still has the dropsies.
You're going to spoil the game for me. All right, that wasn't so bad. Worryometer. Let's go to the worryometer here. 0 to 10. You know the drill. Chris Godwin, 2 catches for 25 yards on 3 targets. This was after 3 straight games with 15 or more PPR fantasy points. He does get Atlanta next week. Worryometer on Godwin.
2.5.
4.5.
Okay, not that worried. Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert with only 19 fantasy points against Atlanta. Another game with a ton of pass attempts. That's 44 or more passes in 4 straight games, but not really getting the job done except for one game against the Jets. Justin Herbert, worryometer.
He's got the Raiders next week.
He had the Falcons this week.
I know.
4.
1.
4. I think that like the ranking of Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, and Mitchell Trubisky this week will be very interesting.
How about James Robinson?
Oh, my goodness. The guy is the number three running back in fantasy. He's dominant week after week after week. And Evil Adam has just been waiting for him to have one game with fewer than 100 total yards so he could pounce. He only had 80 yards.
He had a touchdown.
What are we going to do with him?
I'm sure Adam put him here because of his schedule.
No. Should I have?
At Baltimore and then Chicago.
Oh, that's their schedule? Because I have the wrong schedule for them. I have a much better schedule than that.
What do you have? Let's hear
The wrong one.
Yeah.
I must have given them Tennessee schedule. Yeah, I gave them Tennessee schedule because I copied and pasted from the wrong. I gave them Detroit next week, which would have been wonderful. Okay, no, this is a much better.
That's going to be good for Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a negative bazillion on the worryometer. James Robinson is like negative 12.
Okay.
He had 83 yards and caught four passes.
You know, you could have just said
worst
zero.
Worst game in like 2 months. And we want to know, how worried are we?
And he might even be better with Minshew.
Yeah.
No, he definitely is better with Minshew.
You could have just said zero. You could have just said zero.
You could have gotten his schedule right.
He's
got Oakland, and then he's got San Diego, and then the Oilers in week 17.
All right, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Worryometer on him, because you know the catches are not very reliable with him. He got 5 for 59. That's great. He did get 21 touches, but all right, 0 to 10 for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I was at like an 8 coming into this week, and now I'm going to slide it down a little bit. He's in that 6 range. I'm so worried, but not as bad as it was.
3.5.
Oh, you're just
interesting.
Cool as a cucumber when it comes to CEH.
Yeah, well, he gets the Saints next week, and that's, you know, they've given up 100 yards to a running back in one straight games. So keep that in mind. And Terry McLaurin. All right, this is what, let's see if I can do some quick math. A combined 4 catches for 38 yards on 12 targets in his last 2 games. He will face the resurgent Seahawks defense next week. Terry McLaurin.
Now, this is one that I think we could be fairly concerned about. Although I was a little optimistic that with Haskins going under center when Alex Smith got hurt, that things could get good for him. But I'll say 6. Same as Edwards-Helaire. Meaning I'm probably still going to start McLaurin, but the expectations have to be revised.
Yeah, I'll say 5. I'm not sure how resurgent the Seahawks defense is. They've played Colt McCoy and Sam Darnold the last 2 weeks.
It's been like 4 weeks, but it's actually been 4 or 5 weeks of just lousy competition, except for I think the Rams were in there.
Well, Carson Wentz had 22.
He had the Goddard prayer.
And Kyler had 23.
Yeah.
The week before that.
That was the Thursday night game. Yeah.
But yeah, at 5. I'm more likely to bench McLaurin than I am Chris Godwin, but I don't think they'll be that far apart in the rankings.
I think it would be nice if they would lose a game, and I think they will next week, have to throw downfield a little bit more. Top 5 at each position. Okay, we'll do this. We'll take a break, and then we will go through all the games. So let's get our live scoring up there. Aaron Rodgers. God, it's like 7 games in a row now with 27 or more fantasy points. Aaron Rodgers is probably QB1 now. It's my guess. I don't know.
What do you mean, for the week?
No, for the year.
Or for the year?
I think he's past Mahomes.
At least. How many did he have?
36 points. And I don't know where Kyler is in this anymore.
He needed to outscore Mahomes by 18.
Oh, he's 2 off. 2 away. All right, so Rodgers is crushing it. He's number 1. Trubisky is 2. Shaggy B, by the way, with the stat. Good stuff.
Well, Wilson was only like 4 behind Rodgers coming into this week.
And Rodgers beat him by 6. All right, so I messed up. It's Rodgers 1, Drew Lock 2. Trubisky, Wilson, Tua, all tied for third with 30 fantasy points. 5 quarterbacks with 30 fantasy points. Impressive. Rodgers, Locke, Trubisky, Wilson, Tua, and then Derek Carr after that. And then that is a big drop all the way down to 22 points. So it's 36, 33, 30, 30, 30. Derek Carr with 27, and then 22 points. Taysom Hill is currently your QB7. But Dave, you look at Rodgers, Locke, Trubisky, Wilson, Tua, Carr. They're the real standouts today. 3 of them had rushing touchdowns, by the way. Anything jump out at you there?
Yeah, Detroit, Carolina, New York Jets, Houston Texans, and Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs defense is kind of struggling. I got to get that
they
together.
They did today. Well, I think there were some throws that you just got to shake your head at with Tua and say, good play, nice job. But those other defenses are pretty terrible. And this is the time of year where bad matchups can really, or favorable matchups can really work out for you.
Well, we talked about Trubisky. I want to look at Carr. He was 31% started, and start percentage right now, it's kind of take it with a grain of salt. A lot of teams are eliminated and they have Carr on their bench or whatever, but he's got now 5 games with 27 or more fantasy points out of 13. That's big. And he's got 7 games with 22 or more fantasy points. So I don't know. He's been pretty efficient, if I'm not mistaken. He had that 3-game stretch where he had 25 or fewer passes and he struggled, but they were just winning and running the ball. Is it just like if you get a game script that's good for Derek Carr, you should start him because he's putting up huge numbers?
It's like he's doing this, and I don't disagree with anything you said, and that makes him a quarterback in the borderline top 12 range.
Where did you guys have him ranked?
What's that?
Were you too low on him this week? Not in retrospect.
I think I had him 12th.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's great. No, I had him lower than that. I'm worried about that offensive line doing its job blocking for the run game for Vegas.
Well, yeah, but doesn't that help Carr? Because they can't really run the ball.
I mean, that's the point, but it's as good as it helps Carr, it's not so good for Josh Jacobs. And that line, if they suffer another injury, could potentially start to hurt Derek Carr. But I think that's what's going on, is that Vegas is realizing, all right, we're having a hard time running the ball. They couldn't get Booker going last week. They couldn't get Jacobs going this week. They miss Richie Incognito. That's who's missing. And I think Carr's got an opportunity here because that defense is so bad where he's going to be in position where he's going to throw a bunch.
Boy, it's so bad, and you can really run all over them, Austin Eckler. Next week, Derrick Henry is your RB1, followed by Jonathan Taylor, Miles Sanders, Mike Davis. Boom. David Montgomery. How did he end up with only 11 carries? How strange. But those are your top 5. Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Miles Sanders, Mike Davis, and David Montgomery. Heath, reaction?
I like that, like, all of the David Montgomery long run stats are just off the board for next offseason. I'm happy for him, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does the next 2 weeks against great matchups.
Okay, great. And hopefully we don't have to talk about Mike Davis. No offense, Mike Davis, but we want Christian McCaffrey back. Wide receiver.
Yeah. Really, great job, Mike Davis.
Great job.
Thank you. You got us here, and then when we needed you in week 14, you pushed us on to the next round.
Tyreek Hill is wide receiver 1. He had a 32-yard rushing touchdown. KJ Hamler, not far behind. 2 catches, 86 yards, 2 scores. T.Y. Hilton? T.Y. Hilton is actually tied with Tyreek Hill in PPR. Calvin Ridley is actually, I think, number 1 in PPR. No, Allen Robinson is number 1 in PPR. I'm looking at non-PPR scoring. But Tyreek Hill only had 3 catches. Ridley had 8. Allen Robinson had 9. So your best wide receivers today, just slightly ahead of Devontae Adams and A.J. Brown, are Tyreek Hill, Calvin Ridley, Allen Robinson, K.J. Hamler, and T.Y. Hilton. Dave, does K.J. Hamler matter?
Not really, no. You can put him on your bench in the deepest of leagues and hope that he sees more targets moving forward. But, I mean, this is the type of game that you should expect from Hamler 2-3 times a year moving forward, because he's fast but doesn't really seem to be involved in the offense on a regular basis. He might have a couple games this year with 5+ targets.
Okay, other than Travis Kelce, I don't have a great feel for who the top tight ends are. I feel like
Gesicki had 2 touchdowns.
Tunyon's going to be up there. He had like 50 yards and a touchdown. Waller had 70 yards but didn't score. All right, Kelce, Gesicki, Irv Smith, Foster Moreau, and Hockenson. What happened to Tunyon? No, he didn't quite make the cut. Just missed it. Kelce, Gesicki, Irv Smith, Foster Moreau, TJ Hockenson. So, Irv Smith, Heath, 63.
Did you say Foster Moreau?
Yeah. He had a 47-yard touchdown. There were 3 tight ends going into Sunday night. Troy Fumagalli. Fumagalli, fooled almost like fools you. 53 yards. So four tight ends going into Sunday night had more than 50 yards. It's pathetic.
Yeah, it's a touchdown reliant position. Except in the case of the studs.
What are we thinking about?
They get yards with the touchdowns.
Irv Smith.
If Kyle Rudolph is out, then Irv Smith is a streamer.
I like the if then. Good stuff. Jared Cook with another touchdown, and if he gets Breeze back, makes him a little bit better.
He's a lot better. Good start if Breeze is back. Cool. I believe Dan Arnold has scored in three straight games. It's four touchdowns in three straight games. Arnold was the kid with the Ben Schreger can help me out with this. He was the kid with the little hat, but he had hair going crazy out of either side of his head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, he has no idea. He has no idea, Ben Schreger. No idea. Confirmed?
Because Doug was like the nerdy Charlie Brown kind of looking.
Yeah, yeah. Doug's a... Doug's
no, hey, player. Arnold, I saw. Don't you worry about that.
All right. Hey, Schreger saw Christmas Vacation for the first time.
Oh, it was a classic. And I mean, it was a classic, but it was hilarious.
Good stuff, dude. For Dan Arnold, it's touchdowns in three of his last four games. Okay, taking a break here. When we come back, we'll go through all the games. Sit tight. We've got a lot of fantasy analysis coming your way right after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Denver, Carolina. This was a sneaky, fun game. 5-point game, one of the most competitive games of the week. Heath, do you want to do Believe It or Not, or what? You want me to do it?
Well, we already did one for Drew Locke. So Believe It or Not, Robbie Anderson is a start for the rest of the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I can believe that, especially in PPR. And you knew that he'd get a pretty decent target share today without DJ Moore on the field.
Right, so is he a must-start if DJ Moore plays? And what about Curtis Samuel, by the way? Curtis Samuel's bound.
He had 9 targets, too.
Yeah,
like, that's the one who I think would be affected more by DJ Moore's return.
Okay, because he's got 3 straight games with 68 to 72 yards. He's really becoming a receiver, and he has a touchdown in 4 of his last 6 games. He has 72 yards or a touchdown in 4 of his last 6 games. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, Melvin Gordon had 13 carries for 68 yards, 3 catches for 23 yards. Phillip Lindsay is just not running the ball well lately.
But he's got to get out of the way and just let Melvin get more.
Man,
work.
How many times have we said that one direction or the other about this backfield?
I know.
There was a time we wanted Melvin out of the way.
It's true. But Melvin has actually started to play better the past couple of games, I want to say.
Yeah. He was great last week against the Chiefs, right? Yeah. He had 15 carries for 131 yards. The week before that, he was terrible. But anyway, how do you view Melvin Gordon? He's got the Bills next week.
High-end flex, low-end number 2.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. He's got the Chargers in week 16. That's the matchup that you circle.
And
that's the matchup he circled too. It's his former team.
Dallas. Oh wait, I gotta bring this up here. So he's
Noah Fant?
No. Noah Fant had an illness and left.
Left with an illness. That's weird. You don't usually see that.
Okay, so anyway, Melvin Gordon, he's got his court appearance tomorrow. So
for the DUI.
Yeah. Yeah, he could be suspended. So you could pick up.
Good. So we'll get our way and we'll just let Phillip Lindsay hopefully do something decent.
Dallas 30, Cincinnati 7. Heath?
Believe it or not, Giovanni Bernard is droppable.
No.
Believe it. Believe it.
No, we could do better than that. Believe it or not, CeeDee Lamb is droppable.
I do not believe that.
He's been droppable in non-PPR.
Yeah. What about PPR?
I mean, I don't mind hanging on to him. Well, it's going to be situation specific, Adam. If you've got loaded starting wide receivers and he's not your best receiver on your bench, you can punt him right into the sun. But if you don't have that situation, then hang on to him.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there are four teams left. I really hope you're not relying on CeeDee Lamb if you're one of the final four. Okay. I think we're good there. Amari Cooper is basically a must start.
Yep.
With Dalton. Yeah. He's been very good with Dalton. And they didn't have to throw much. Dalton threw 23 passes for 185 yards, 2 touchdowns.
They didn't have the ball very much.
No, 25 minutes. You know, when you get defensive scores, it always screws up your time of possession.
Of course.
Chicago 36 and Houston 7. Heath?
Yeah, we covered a lot of this one with the Watson and Trubisky angle. But believe it or not, Cole Kmet is still a good streaming tight end, despite the fact that stupid Jimmy Graham scored a touchdown. And you're not stupid, Jimmy Graham. You're a Hall of Famer and wonderful. We've enjoyed watching you play football. I'm sure
he's a great amateur pilot, and he got a great college education.
Mm-hmm. 4 catches, 41 yards for Cole Kmet, Dave.
I think Cole Kmet isn't a streaming tight end.
He had 7 targets for the second week in a row. And if you get 7 targets every week, you are a streaming tight end.
Do you think this is a game coming up next week for the Bears that they're going to need to throw a lot?
Are you going? Did he not get 7 targets, Adam?
No, I had it wrong. I thought he, oh, okay. he had I wrote it targets. Down wrong. Yeah.
Do I think what, Dave?
How much passing do you think the Bears will do next week against Minnesota? That's who they play, right?
They threw 33 pass attempts today, and that was like 7 below their season average. So I'd say at least as much as they did today.
Yeah, they're at Minnesota next week. They throw the ball all the time, no matter what. They're always 33 passes is so low for them.
And they won by 4 scores.
Right.
Like they didn't ever stop. They were throwing the ball in the fourth quarter.
All right. Believe it or not, Kiki QT should not be dropped. Like you should hang on to Kiki QT.
Well, he's taking on the team that he broke out against next week. So that's a good thing. And if Brandon Cooks is out, then I think the door's open for him to get more than 3 targets. Certainly.
I might like him better if Brandon Cooks is playing just so he doesn't get that much attention. But I would not drop Kiki QT for KJ Hamler.
Yeah. Nope. I'm trying to interpret Heath's groans. It sounds like you prefer CeeDee Lamb to Kiki QT.
I think that's correct.
Okay.
I think I'm sticking with QT.
Hey, we got to talk about Hanson here. Where's the love? Chad Hanson, 4% rostered.
I started him in the Kings Classic.
Good for you. 7 catches. 14-team
deep flex league and came through with 12.6. I loved it. 7 targets. He's outside type of receiver. He really did benefit more than anything else from Brandon Cooks. More than anyone else, I should say, from Brandon Cooks.
But he had 100 yards last week, and now he backed it up with 76 this week. You know, I mean, that's
56 this week.
If it, seven, but he's 7 for 56.
Sorry, 56.
I said 76.
Caught them all.
7 for 56. All right, but I don't know. You know, it's just deep leagues.
It's basically deep leagues.
Okay. All right. Moving on then to our next game, which would be Tampa Bay 26 and Minnesota 14. And time of possession really was big here. You can't do much with 21 minutes of possession, and that's what the Bucs had, and they still won the game. But Heath, what do you want to look at here with Tampa Bay and Minnesota?
You really shouldn't rank any of the Bucs wide receivers in the top 18.
Yeah. Nah, I don't believe it. Because especially Evans has upside for blow-up games every week. You can say goodbye to Antonio Brown. There's nothing there that's going to make you feel confident in using him outside of a deep league flex. I mean, deep league PPR flex. And Godwin usually gets more targets than this. Mike Evans usually does better than this.
23 passes.
So I don't believe, right, exactly. And the time of possession was way against them, so I don't believe it.
By the way, Bruce Arians is completely full of crap. This is ridiculous. He said 20 touches. We got 19 touches from Ronald Jones.
We got nothing from Leonard Fournette. Healthy scratch.
Awesome. Awesome. Love it, man. What a great development for Ronald Jones. Only started in 64% of leagues, but people may have been eliminated, didn't have the chance to do it. But that's great news. And at Atlanta next week, it's not the easiest of matchups for running backs typically, but do you consider him a must start, Ronald Jones?
Yes. He's going to be a number two running back in my rankings next week.
Yeah, I think he'll probably be right around 15, probably.
What do you make? I'm sorry. I can't imagine that home versus road is that big of a deal. But
for Cousins?
Yeah, he did get to 19 points, Cousins. But
look, he was really lucky to get 19.
Mm-hmm. But he's home next week against the Bears.
Yeah, I know. So you'll probably feel good about starting him if you've been starting him all along. But he had a very uncharacteristic 41 yards rushing, which is silly.
Yeah.
Never gets anything like that. That might be a career high for him.
And I'm more likely to believe home versus road when home is a controlled environment.
I guess, but he was in Tampa today, you know? Looked pretty nice. Well, here are his fantasy points in his last five home games. 29, 26, 28, 31, 27.
It is a career high in rushing yards for him.
Is it really?
Yeah. His previous high was 38 yards. Okay. Congrats, Kirk.
Have you anything to say about Jefferson or Thielen? Bad games.
You still have to start them. It's just such a weird game for them. They had time of possession. Cook, I say this in seriousness, he only had 22 carries.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like this should have been a bigger game all the way around for the Vikings.
Well, I think that's part of the problem with the Vikings in terms of like the number of plays they run is even when they have time of possession, sometimes they're just so slow because they run the ball with Dalvin Cook and then 30 seconds later they run it again and 30 seconds later they run it again and all of a sudden 3 minutes are off the clock. Mm-hmm.
All right, Tennessee.
That could be a big part of it.
Tennessee 31 and Jacksonville 10. Believe it or not, you should drop James Robinson.
Oh, come on.
I almost cursed. Like, you can't do that to me.
I'm sorry.
I don't want a straggy beat to have to edit the YouTube.
You know, I'm going to tell you something.
I don't want to have cursing on air like you did last week.
Gardner Minshew, he made 7 starts before getting benched. He scored 22 or more fantasy points in 5 of them.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So,
thank you, Adam.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Heath, I believe you were told that Gardner Minshew wasn't going to play again this year.
Well, no. I was told that they shouldn't play Gardner Minshew because Doug Marrone's trying to win another game, and I was told that Mike Glennon was the team's best chance to win games.
Hmm.
I don't know that that isn't true. I mean, they all stink. They're 1-12 for a reason. But next week is at Baltimore, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, nobody's starting at Baltimore.
Clear, like statistically, there's not much question who the best quarterback that has played for the Jaguars has been this year.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. Well, so what else?
I can't start DJ Chark anymore. Even with Minshew coming back, in theory, he'll start next week.
Well, yeah, because he was kind of,
and then there's nothing.
He was kind of like the public impetus for the benching.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Anything else? How about this dud from Corey Davis? This could have been my biggest disappointment. 3 catches, 34 yards. I thought he was going to have a huge game. He only got 3 targets, and Tannehill threw 24 passes.
Right. And that's what, like, that was part of the risk with Ryan Tannehill, who had kind of had I mean, he was right in that big jump bunch of meh.
Yeah.
At quarterback. The last time they played Jacksonville, he had a monster day. Well, he threw 24 times for 230 yards and threw 4 touchdowns.
Right.
This is a risk, but I'm still going to start Corey Davis next week.
Okay. But it's such a risk because who do they have next week? They have Detroit. Derrick Henry is going to do such ridiculous things to Detroit. but yeah, I mean, Corey Davis had been so good. And any wide receiver who had gotten any decent amount of targets basically against Jacksonville was having good games. Arizona 26 and the Giants 7. And this is another time of possession game. Giants had the ball for 22 minutes. Cardinals almost 38 minutes. So
Giants
kept
turning it over.
What's that?
They kept turning it over.
Yeah, it was a shocker. Yeah, but what did we think of Kyler Murray here? He scores 20 points. and 244 yards, really nothing downfield, but he ran a lot, 13 carries, only 47 yards on 13 carries. But what do we think?
If you score 20 fantasy points and have one touchdown, then you had a good day and were a little unlucky, in my opinion.
What if it's 19 fantasy points and you only score one touchdown?
Is that Kirk Cousins?
No, that's Kyle Murray. Kyler should have had a much bigger game.
Oh, I had him at 20.
Adam's notes said he had 20 fantasy points.
Okay, it's 19. But who cares?
It is 19. Jeez, what the hell? He was 20.
He should have had a significantly bigger game.
Did he take some knees at the end?
Yeah, maybe.
I think he might have.
Yes, he did. He took three knees for a loss of 5 yards. Is that what happened?
Yep, that's what happened.
Oh, someone might lose a fantasy league because of that.
To be clear, in decimal scoring, he did have 20 fantasy points.
Okay. I'll take a part
of
the
win. Everybody should come around on decimal scoring. I totally understand that. His touchdown to Dan Arnold was kind of, it felt a little lucky. There was some serious heat on him and kind of just chucked it up near the post.
He was like surrounded and he was like, "Hey, Arnold."
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
And I thought Arnold it was a great play.
Right.
I thought it was a tremendous play.
Okay.
I mean, look, you could have been viewed as a little lucky, but he was under heat. He was under pressure and he just threw the ball basically like as far as he could under the circumstances, and only Dan Arnold would have been able to make the play, and he made the play. But I mean, are you confident starting him against Philadelphia? It's Philadelphia next week for them. Yeah, Philadelphia at home. Are you confident starting Kyler Murray?
I'll feel better about it next week than I did this week.
Okay.
Especially if there's no Darius Slay. That'd be great.
I don't think, I would love to know later in the week, but I don't think DeAndre Hopkins did much of his damage on James Bradbury. They moved him around. They put him in the slot. He ended up with a huge game, 136 yards. So that was great. And then for the Giants, Dave, your thoughts on Gallman? Only 12 carries, 3 catches. He wasn't bad.
More of this game than I did. Was it just like the one drive for Gallman that really kind of made the day what it was for him?
They just barely had the ball. Their line was terrible. It was like, it was just reverting back to the beginning of the year. Their line was terrible. There were 8 sacks. Jones couldn't move. And they just couldn't get Gallman the ball, but he did fine. And again, you just expect, at this point, you expect when they get near the goal line, they're running the ball. That's just what they do. And that easily could have been Gallman, but it was freaking Deion Lewis.
Yeah, who got the touchdown. That part sucked. Cleveland and Baltimore, their next 2 games, I think Gallman's got to be viewed as a touchdown or bust running back.
Alrighty. And I think Patrick Peterson was on Sterling Shepard more than he was on anyone else, which is pretty interesting. And Shepard had a horrible game, his worst game with Daniel Jones. Kansas City 33 and Miami 17. Mr. Heath?
Believe it or not, Tua is one of the 17 streamers that we love for week 15 when there's only 4 teams playing.
Why don't I change that for you to Tua is someone that is worth trying in DFS tournaments. Because if there's only 4 teams left playing in every league, that means there's a lot of people who love fantasy that aren't in the playoffs, and they're going to start going to DFS.
How about I'll change it? Tua is a top 12 dynasty quarterback.
Let me change it one more time. Okay. Tua is a top 12.
Let me change it again. Ryan Fitzpatrick is... No. I think he might be a top 12 dynasty quarterback, and I think he'd be pretty good play in DFS next week, because I wonder if people are going to be scared off by the Patriots taking.
I'm not playing a rookie quarterback against the Patriots.
I think that's a pretty good call. Not after Herbert.
But then that makes him a contrarian play in DFS.
That's true.
And now we know what his upside is. I also think people will not be confident in using Tua if he doesn't have Parker or Gesicki.
Right. All right, a couple more things on this game. Believe it or not, Travis Kelce is the most valuable player in fantasy in PPR leagues.
I believe he leads the NFL in receiving yards now.
Oh, he passed Metcalf. Yeah, he did. I don't know. I can't imagine anyone passed him. I think he was second behind DK. He could be the first tight end to ever lead the NFL. Right? I don't think a tight end's ever done it.
Yeah, and I think last I looked, he was 4th or 5th in PPR fantasy points for the season.
And that's amazing. That's amazing. Because he's usually like 8th, 10th. This is a big deal to be top 5. And when you talk about how bad tight end has been this year, there is an easy case to be made that Travis Kelce is the most valuable player in PPR leagues specifically. Would anybody disagree? I mean, I wouldn't. I think
his value over position has to be close to record. Like, I'd like to know. I'll look at it. But yes, I think there's a very good case to be made for it.
And just, Dave, a quick thought on the Dolphins running game. DeAndre Washington, I mean, you can't be too disappointed with 15 touches, but you can be disappointed with 52 yards total.
Here's my thought. No.
Okay. Seattle 40 and the Jets 3. Will Disley caught a touchdown. They are so bad against tight ends. They get the Rams next week. Higbee.
So, yeah, I guess, and I don't even know who they play, but believe it or not, just don't start any Jets ever.
They play the Rams. I'm not starting against the Rams. That's for sure.
So can we just drop Rashad Perryman and Frank Gore and Ty Johnson and Jameson Crowder? And
how many of those guys did you really pick up, though?
I started Rashad Perryman and Jameson Crowder in a league today.
In the same league?
In the same league.
Two Jets?
And Mitchell Trubisky, and I'm going to win.
Hey, all Trubisky. Right.
That's awesome.
Oh, you should have stacked it with Darnold.
No, I had Trubisky, Allen Robinson stacked.
Oh, okay,
so
that's better.
Yeah.
Crowder's 87%
stack
roster.
Stack them with Darnold.
Yeah, Crowder 87%.
He's going to light money on fire for you, Adam.
Russell Wilson came through 4 touchdowns on 27 passes. Okay, the backfield split with Carson actually getting fewer carries than Carlos Hyde.
Hold the phone on that, though. Hyde had 5 carries in the fourth quarter and 11 carries in the second half, and I don't believe Carson even played in the fourth quarter.
I wasn't picking up the phone. I was paging you for you to pick up the phone and tell everyone.
I got you on that one. I wouldn't be worried about Hyde taking over work from Carson.
Well,
and I would be excited about Carson having the touchdown and 76 yards and starting to round into form here down the stretch.
It's not good if it's a 12-10 split, is it?
Ooh, that's a really – in bowling?
I don't know how many of Carlos Hyde's 6 third-quarter carries came in what was basically garbage time already.
Let's put Shraggy B on the case. Shraggy B, try to shed some light on the Seahawks running backs. I mean, I actually looked at the game log, and I think they were both fairly involved during the same portion of the game, with Carson ahead of him, but not like super ahead of him. But Carson's just so much better. He's so good. All right, we'll put Shraggy B on the
case.
Well,
I've got the halftime numbers right here. Carson had twice as many carries as Hyde in the first half, 8-4.
That's not like super. I mean, if it stayed 66%, sure, but it's only 4 more carries. It's not. All right, we'll put Shraggy B's on the case.
Look, if they finish that pace, if they pace that out over the whole game and it's 16 carries for Carson.
It was an even split between the two of them on their first 2 second half drives. So they're splitting in the second half.
I don't like it, Dave. That's it.
So now you're saying you don't want to start Chris
Carson?
No,
I love him. He's amazing.
You're worried about Carlos Hyde.
No, he's so good. I just think it limits his upside a little bit.
Well, of course.
We can all agree on that.
Yeah, but he's still good with the carries he gets.
And the catches. Colts 44, Vegas 27. Somebody actually asked on Twitch today, which vacation is better, Christmas or Vegas? Come on.
Vegas vacation's pretty great.
No, it's it's good. It's not as fun, good as Christmas vacation, but it's not. It you shouldn't put the word "great" in that sense.
The original was just family vacation, right?
Just vacation.
Just vacation.
Vacation, yeah. Wally World.
National Lampoon's Vacation,
yeah. Then European vacation, then Christmas vacation, then Vegas vacation.
Okay,
yeah.
I did not know it was just vacation. Sure. Believe it or not, Nyheim Hines is a good PPR running back too.
No, can't say that. Can't do it. He's okay. I think he's better as a flex.
You know, I feel like he's put into positions to score more often than a lot of players in his situation. The pass catching guy. I feel like Hines gets more opportunities to score than, you know, like a James White would, which I know is ironic because White had 2 rushing touchdowns a few weeks ago, but.
No, I think you're right.
Okay. Thank you for saving me from contradicting myself for the next 5 minutes. Yeah, I'm cool with him. Like, I think he's past Chase Edmonds at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. He's probably the best, especially if Haskins is starting. He's better than McKissick.
Philip Rivers is kind of in the zone. And in his last 8 games, he's got 21 or more points in 6 of 8 games, 27 or more in 3 of 8 games, and he's got Houston next week.
It's really something too, because a couple of games ago, he looked miserable. He was missing throws. He was rough. And he's bounced back. Got to give him credit for it.
Okay, so do you think he'll be a top 15 quarterback next week?
Against Houston?
Yeah, you got Rivers against Houston or Kyler against the Eagles.
I love Kyler.
I'm probably going to have Kyler.
All righty.
Rivers or Trubisky?
No. I think I'm going to have Trubisky.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're excited about that, Heath.
What
is lighting people?
Bears fan Dave is back.
I'm just turning my back on Philip Rivers after 13 years of.
What is your level of faith in Josh Jacobs? He had 13 carries for 49 yards, 3 catches for 25 yards against the Colts. And what a matchup next week against the Chargers.
Start him.
Nervously. You'll start him nervously.
Okay.
Playing the Chargers will help.
Chargers 20, Falcons 17. It didn't help Todd Gurley. Chargers had the ball for 34 minutes, 15 seconds. Falcons for 25, 45. And Heath, got anything for this one?
We are never, ever, ever
getting
starting
back
Todd Gurley again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Wait, let's do, we are never, ever, ever starting Matt Ryan again, even if Julio's back.
No, I didn't mean this season. I meant forever. Todd Gurley's fantasy football career as a starting running back is over.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we're getting there.
And I don't know how far behind Matt Ryan is. What do you think?
He looks, and here's the thing, because I will say I have thought multiple times this year he looks old, and he is old.
Mm.
But it's worth remembering Brady has had multiple years where he looks like, oh no, he's washed.
Washed up.
And then he comes back. And Aaron Rodgers had a 3-year stretch where he was flat out below average by many metrics.
Well, certainly by his metrics.
Maybe the best quarterback in football this year, not named Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
who threw
right.
the best pass today for the Falcons?
Yeah, that'd be Russell Gage's
touchdown looked pretty good to me.
Pretty nice. What do you make of this? Well, first of all, just a fun stat. Austin Eckler has had 129 or more total yards in 4 of his last 5 games. But on the opposite end of that, Keenan Allen has 52 or fewer yards in 4 of his last 5 games.
Yeah, I think Austin Eckler maybe should be a top 5 pick next year.
Yeah, but what about Keenan Allen? That's what I really wanted you to talk about. 52 or fewer yards in 4 of his last 5 games.
It's nerve-wracking, but the target volume has typically been great.
Number 2 receiver.
All right, 3 more games. Mike Williams got hurt, by the way, and did not have a catch. Philadelphia 24, New Orleans 21. Go!
Believe it or not, Jalen Hurts is a top 12 quarterback in leagues that reward 4 points per pass touchdown.
No, I'm not going to. Not going to rush him up that flagpole. He had a nice game. Some of his throws weren't great, and I can't count on him running for 100 yards every single week.
No, but I think you can count on him running for
50
plus, you know. He's going to run a lot.
I wish I knew. I don't know where he finished this week in that format.
We can find out. Jalen Hurts or Taysom Hill next week. Hill would get the Chiefs and Hurts the Cardinals.
I don't think Hill's playing, right? Isn't Drew Brees supposed to be back?
I don't know. Brees didn't feel great.
Assuming
skepticism about that.
Yeah, okay.
Understand, Taysom Hill got very lucky in this game because Hurts fumbled. Was it Hurts or so? I think Hurts fumbled.
Hurts fumbled, yeah.
Late in the game, gave them another possession. Jared Cook made a great catch in the end zone, but this probably should have been like a 13-point game for Taysom Hill. Ended up being a 22-point game.
Yep. For sure. I think I'll probably still have Hill higher, but it'll be really close.
Same.
All righty. I think that should do it for this game. Michael Thomas was his usual self. Eight caught all of his targets, 84 yards. Didn't quite get to 100, but he hasn't caught a touchdown with Taysom Hill. So that is really something to keep in mind here.
He hasn't caught a touchdown this season, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be true. Yeah. All right. Dallas Goedert, I will have to revisit him next week. Considering that Jalen Hurts threw for 167 yards, 43 yards wasn't bad, but it's nerve-wracking now. Green Bay 31, Detroit 24, another big time of possession game. Detroit had the ball for 24 minutes and 30 seconds. Heath, what do you want to talk about here, Green Bay and Detroit?
The Lions aren't going to allow DeAndre Swift to be as great as we want him to be.
I'm not ready to believe that. We've seen it once before this year. This was his first game back after this concussion / illness that he went through. I think that there is potential that he can get a larger workload before the season ends. Peterson only had four stinking carries in the game, five touches.
He had less than half of their rush attempts. DeAndre Swift did.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
I mean, if you're being technical, they only ran the ball 15 times, and one of them was a Matthew Stafford run for 6 yards.
Yeah, it was disappointing, but
they really just weren't thinking about running the ball very much because the Packers jumped out to a 14-7 lead in the second quarter.
Well, how many times did they run it the week before, though? Since Daryl Bevel's taken over.
Well, Peterson had two straight games with 15 carries and or 16 carries.
They had 22 the week before, 42 passes to 22 rushes.
Yeah, they'll run if they're in a competitive game where it's close. They're not.
Well, this
game
was pretty close. It was within one score multiple times in the second half.
That's true, but at one point, very early in the second quarter, it was already 14-7, and it took them nearly the entire quarter just to get DeAndre Swift in the end zone to tie it up. So maybe I'm kind of making a bigger deal about it than it is, about the Lions and their game script and deciding to throw. I think it's 2 week sample size that they like having Matthew Stafford make the decisions on offense, and that could hurt DeAndre Swift, but I don't know if it necessarily has hurt his playing time. Do you know how many snaps
he
played?
Yes, I do. Shraggy B with stats, 54% for Swift.
For Swift.
24% for Peterson. Kerryon had 21%, but last thing, Peterson was in at the goal line. He got a goal line carry. He didn't get in. Kerryon Johnson was in at the goal line. He did get in. He scored. And Swift as well. So you also have that situation where you don't know who's going to get the goal line work. That's annoying.
I don't think we'll ever feel good about Swift as a top 12 running back in weeks 15 or 16.
Danny Amendola.
Probably.
Danny Amendola, two straight games with 60 yards. So, you know, deep leagues, he's 8% rostered. He's emerging. They cut Marvin Hall. And let's go to our last game. Oh, and I have to say, it is so unfortunate that Aaron Jones had 17 touches for 75 yards. Everybody scores on Detroit. Usually twice. He's now got two touchdowns in his last six games. It's very unfortunate, and I'm very sorry if you lost because Aaron Jones didn't have the week-winning game he should have. Washington 23 and San Francisco 15. Last game. What do you got?
If Alex Smith is out, J.D. McKissick is droppable.
But he led the he didn't lead the team in carries, but
he led the team in rushing
by
yards.
Far. He had 11 carries, and Barber
had
12.
Yeah,
I don't know. What do you think, Dave? Believe it or not,
I don't believe it. I don't want to leave him out there after a pretty good rushing average. But I think if you were counting on him for his catching prowess, and it's Dwayne Haskins and not Alex Smith, then for that, I wouldn't expect big things from J.D. McKissick.
And believe it or not, Heath, I'm sorry. Did you believe it or no?
I kind of think I might believe it.
Okay, believe it or not, Jeff Wilson is actually the best Niners running back to start.
I don't believe it.
Okay. So you would not.
The problem with sitting Mostert is, and the usage has been frustrating the last few weeks, but he's still averaging almost 5 yards a carry every week, and he still possesses the ability to score from 50 yards away because of their system and his big play ability. And so I would feel foolish if I started Jeff Wilson and sat Raheem Mostert.
Yeah.
And Mostert did what he does.
So you would not drop James Robinson for Jeff Wilson, is what you're saying.
I am not going to make that move.
All right. Good show, guys. Good show. Busy, busy Sunday. And we're going to go watch the end of the Steelers and the Bills. Get ready for Monday Night Football tomorrow. We will talk to you on Monday afternoon with our show. And we, of course, will have Fantasy Football Today in 5, which we're going to record right now. You'll hear that at 3 a.m. or, you know, whenever you wake up. For Dave and Heath and Ben, I'm Adam. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.